Welcome to Idaho Speaks, the place to learn about candidates and issues important to Idaho. My name is Ed, and I created this channel to overcome the media bias that plagues our communities and our state. When presented all the information, I believe you, the voter, will make the best decision for our future. At Idaho Speaks, we will give you the side of the story being hidden by mainstream media and big tech giants.
My name is David Worley, and I'm the Southeast Idaho interviewer for the Idaho Speaks team. Our goal is to give you, the voter, as much access as possible to the field of state and local candidates around Idaho. Ed and I both do interviews, so if you as a candidate find yourself in a situation where you need to speak directly to the voters and are having trouble getting through the mainstream media, please reach out and we will do our best to get you on the program. We want to give Republican and conservative candidates a platform to communicate their ideas in a long-form format so that you, the voter, has the best information available to make your choice on election day.
Idaho Speaks, your issues, your candidates, your state. A portion of today's episode is brought to you by Consumer Credit Auditors, providing credit repair services for over two decades. With inflation and recession fears comes higher costs. Fixing your credit score will save you money on credit card and loan interest. Visit www.consumercreditauditors.com to learn more. Please support the companies who support Idaho Speaks. Welcome to Idaho Speaks. Thank you for tuning in and sharing these episodes. Let me start by saying, wow, oh my goodness, last week's episode on the communist takeover of the Democratic Party was downloaded by more people than just about any other episode ever recorded on Idaho Speaks. It also generated three comments in private emails with complaints over my choice of language. One listener even threatened to never listen again if I did not remove the language. John, if you're listening, you have my permission to find another podcast to listen to. What is language? Well, it's a skill Democrats have mastery over, and Republicans are very weak with. One might ask, why is that? Why, for 40 years, have the Democrats been able to successfully control what words we do or don't say? I thought that would be a perfect topic for today's episode. I started Idaho Speaks 2 years after successfully running a national show called Conservatives Guide. On Conservatives Guide, I mostly deliver a monologue on national topics and give my suggestion on a course of action. A lot of the time, the episodes focus on language and our fear of words. Last week's episode, cross-posted on both programs, highlighted the program Conservatives Guide in full color. On one hand, thousands of people downloaded and listened to the show. On the other, three people were upset enough to email, a form of complaint. If three people said it out loud, I know many more felt the same inside. I have to assume those same three people wrote CNN and MSNBC, who both aired the same description of a pussy hat live on the air during the protests of the fall of 2019. I admit, I was also shocked that the word made the air, since CNN and MSNBC are both controlled by FCC. While I should note, podcasts are not. But I understood the reference, since that's, actually the name of the hat. Now, one female commentator on MSNBC talked about the pussy hat on a woman dressed in a 5-foot-tall vagina costume marching down Main Street in Portland, Oregon. My shock was quickly replaced with amazement over the use of language to control behavior. Now, bear with me for a moment, as this point is kind of important. Let's go back about 15 years or so to the Tea Party rallies. You remember those? Sure. Yeah, CNN was proudly using the term teabagging to describe us Republicans who had taken to the streets to protest government overreach. Now, I was not familiar with the term teabagging, so I looked it up. It turns out it is a term used in the adult porn industry. I will not explain the action the term describes, but I will say I was angered then over the use of a sexually explicit term by political commentators on a cable news show to counter protest an American movement. I remember thinking way back during the Tea Party movement how giddy Democrats were to use the phrase teabaggers in all types of settings. I also noted the impact it had on many people in the crowd. It is like we shied away from the fight because of the sexually explicit phrase. Fast forward another 5 or so years, and the Democrats rolled out the racist label. Oh, wow. That word had great impact. Instead of shying away from the fight, people started countering the label with disagreement. No, I'm not a racist. The Democrats learned something important from that experiment. Use words that are extreme enough, and you can change the narrative. Republicans stopped arguing about ideas and started fighting over the use of words and labels. The Democrats took control of all aspects of American discourse. Nothing was off limits, and the more raunchy, the better. What did we do on our side? Well, we criticized Republicans who used raw language and said we're better than that and should rise above the fold, quote, lead by example, they said. Some even threatened to stop listening if they did not change their language. Now, I'm sure, again, many complaints were sent to CNN and MSNBC, but it did not curb the use of language. The only thing that happened was, well, Republicans who were chastised by other Republicans retreated off the battlefield of ideas, leaving Democrats the only dominant force. I ask you, listeners of Idaho Speaks, how has that worked out for America? How did we become people so offended by words? I use the F word frequently in my life. My wife does not like it. Those who know me know my language on Idaho Speaks is actually pretty clean compared to how I normally speak. But on a handful of occasions in the history of both my national and state program, I have let fly the words in my heart. Why? Well, for the same reason I give my wife when she complains. Because sometimes that is the right word for the situation. People sometimes use words for shock value alone, just to get the attention of the listener. Too many times I've heard good people argue more over the choice of words than the topic of concern. What is more important? That Ed used the F word? Or that millions of babies are murdered every year? That Ed said pussy hat? Or that the Democratic Party is turning America into a dictatorship? I remember when George Carlin did his famous skit, The 7 Words You Cannot Say on Television. I memorized that skit word for word. George was so good at making fun of language, especially the English language. He could take a word like shit, and make a really funny 15-minute skit that was almost acceptable in any setting. Note, he did part of his shit skit at the 1970 correspondent dinner in Washington, D.C. The Democrats learned long ago that Republicans are embarrassed by some words. We get defensive easily, and some words can throw us into a hissy fit so much that we stop arguing about ideas and work just to defend our honor. Why is that? Are we afraid the Democrats are right? You know, when somebody calls me a racist, I ask them how many babies they've killed. A couple of times while stuck in an elevator with a flamethrower who was calling me names, I just move in real close and fart. No need to pull my finger. That weapon is always loaded. It is one thing that we give Democrats power of language over us. It is a completely different level of dumb that we use word choice to beat each other up. For that matter, some Republicans beat up fellow Republicans because they don't agree with everything the first Republican believes. Oh, whoo, that was a mouthful. I'd like to talk a little bit about education. In Coeur d'Alene, the local school district is going to the public with a levy to raise $80 million for school infrastructure. Now, I was against the last levy the school district went to the voters for just a couple of years ago. Interesting to note, for the exact same reason as why I am against it again this time. Let me pause there. Right now, what I have said is enough for many fellow Republicans to get mad over my stance. They will not wait to hear my reasons. They will hate me just for being against the levy. They assume I am against education and want children to go to schools that are unsafe. They point to stats to say, Idaho is the second lowest per pupil spending in America. The air conditioners and heating units don't work. And how cruel of me to want children to freeze to death in their classrooms. I will be a villain just because I am against the levy. Good news is I have a statewide media company and can continue my argument unhindered. Let me explain. If I were to write a letter to the editor of the local newspaper, they would not publish it. First, because I don't subscribe to the newspaper. They have that rule. You don't subscribe, we're not going to publish your letter. Second, because I'm against a position they are in favor of. That's not to say they don't ever publish counterpoints. But third, because my argument is actually pretty strong. Heaven forbid they allow someone with good language skills to have access to the public. I will get to my reason why I am against a levy in a minute, but I want to make a dual point with this one. In January of 2019, if I did not front the cost of starting a conservative Republican media company, then I would not have the ability to share my argument with the voters. Second, if everyone listening turned off the program because they were offended by words spoken on the program, then the impact of my words would be greatly diminished. Idaho Speaks and Conservatives Guide both exist to help conservative Republicans get elected to office. I give voice to people the local media silence every day. It is obvious why the local media wants to silence conservatives. They want big government control over all aspects of American life. Why do so many fellow Republicans want censorship too? Why do Republicans threaten to tune out because the host used a bad word? Why do some people get offended by the word spoken instead of fighting tooth and nail for the issues important to the state? I am against the CDA levy because 50% of the children attending schools in CDA are not proficient in math or reading. Their income-generating capability will be greatly decreased. Their ability to understand and argue important society-critical topics will be greatly decreased. Without that proficiency, those Americans will be dependent on the government for the rest of their life. I am fighting for the children, while some Republicans are fighting over the use of the term pussy hat. As a party, we also struggle with accepting those who have sinned. Let me put this another way. Some leaders in the Idaho Republican movement are criticized for their associations by the people they know and the behavior of those people. Not to get biblical, but did not Jesus walk and preach with a tax collector? Did not Jesus wash the feet of prostitutes? Did not Jesus teach the wisdom of grace and forgiveness? So who did Jesus distrust? Did not Jesus overturn tables in the temple? Did not Jesus trip up the Pharisees with their hypocrisy? Did not Jesus ask those who are without sin to cast the first stone? We, as a party, need to find a middle ground. We each need to champion our individual ideas and push for those issues important. But when the primary is over, we need to come together and support the Republican ticket. We need to stop hating one another because of our differences and start embracing one another because of our shared interests. We should not seek a party that is 100% in agreement. That would be boring. We must reach out and seek understanding of those with whom we disagree. If we don't try to build bridges to one another, then our state will die a communist, Democrat death as we drift aimlessly on our tiny little islands. Don't be offended by words used in passion. Be moved by people who passionately fight for important causes. Have you dreamt of hosting your own podcast? Looking for someone who'll do all the technical part? Zenith Exhibit Studios produces podcasts for people who wish to take their message to the world without getting boiled down with recording, editing, publishing, and marketing. Our monthly flat fee approach makes the whole process very affordable. We'll help establish advertisers and turn your podcast into a revenue source. Call Ed at 208-209-7170 or visit www.zenithexhibits.studio to learn more. Success in the podcast world has never been so easy. We've reached the end of the episode, but not the end of the issue. Please share this episode with your friends and family. If you have questions or would like to share your own issues and ideas, visit www.idahospeaks.com and click Share an Issue. Your state, your voice, Idaho Speaks.